I received an email this week from Robert Goosby, and it was a video of a man named Chetet that lived in one of the far reaches of our world in what I guess we could call an uncivilized community or culture. Chetet's daily operation was pretty simple. He sought survival for his family, his community, and those that he loved. And on rare occasions, when it was time for celebration, or perhaps just something a little extra around the household or community, Chetet would make a dangerous journey, an expedition. He would climb up one of the mountainous trees near the area where he lived. He would climb without the help of ropes, without a safety net under him in case he fell, without any kind of safety paraphernalia. Chetet would climb this tree over 100 foot in the air, risking his life, knowing that many people who've made this same journey before him had actually fallen, had given their life for this venture. Chetet, once he got to the top of the tree, that's when the real fun started. That's when he would venture out on these massive limbs without the assistance of some kind of a balancing beam. He would put one foot in front of the other, trekking across the limbs until he reached his jackpot, what he was after. And there he found a huge bee's hive. Now, you know, beekeepers today in our modern culture, they wear these fancy clothing, right? They smoke out the bees. They have ways of making them be calm where you can harvest the good. Well, Chetet didn't have that. Chetet stuck his bare hand into the hive, pulled out a big piece of the comb, and you know what the response of the bees were. They attacked with vengeance. And he, calmly standing on the branch of this tree, went back for another and another until he secured the entire comb and he lowered it down. And his little kids were on the ground and they were grinning like possums. Have you ever seen a possum grin? It's from ear to ear. They knew that honey and sweetness and something that they yearned for was coming. But also I saw not just the kids grinning, I saw Chetet's wife looking up there. And it wasn't so much a grin, her expression, as it was, I guess, an expression of pride, of satisfaction, of admiration, and yes, I would say respect for the man she loved, risking so much for those around him. Chetet, sitting on the rim, he was kind of like Jody, I guess. He couldn't help, he had to sample the wares a little bit when he had them in his hand. And it showed him there eating a bit of that honey from the comb and pulling bees off one by one as they were stinging him as he enjoyed his treat. I found in that illustration, that video, that story of life, reminders of our cult life. A resemblance of the faith challenge that we face as people of God, certainly when we read scriptures like ours today. We like to Chetet, all of us, when we get down to it and when we're at our best, we want to live outside of ourselves for those that we love, for those around us, to help our community, to enrich our children or parents, to give those that are entrusted to us something sweet and something nourishing in their life, in their existence. And sometimes, like Chetet, we as those who yearn to give, we receive the sting. We've been hurt, haven't we? on our journey in life to give of ourselves, to sacrifice for those that we love. It's not always easy to do that. We risk life and limb like the African that trekked out over that limb to death. Our very existence at times maybe is challenged. And we give. And we give and we risk and we endure the pain of the sting because, yes, we know the joy of the giving. Tet had a smile and an enjoyment in life because he was able to give life. And isn't that true for us today? There's joy when we give of ourselves and live beyond our existence as individuals. You see this scripture, these Beatitudes that sometimes we're rather familiar with. There's a call in these texts. The inner portions of the scripture, they begin with calling us to faithfulness, or if you want to say righteousness. Listen to some of these calls that Jesus says. He says, blessed are those who are merciful. That's a call to action. Be merciful. Blessed are the peacemakers. That's a call to make peace. Blessed are the meek. A call to be humble and surrender. And blessed are those who seek righteousness. You know, these aren't easy calls. I don't know about you all. But when I hear Jesus say, be meek and humble, be a peacemaker, be merciful, I say, Lord, I need some help. Because sometimes the world is not very receptive to my meekness. Sometimes it's hard to make peace with people that don't want peace. It's hard, God, to be merciful to someone that doesn't give me mercy. You see, I hear this call of Scripture, and I believe that with it, we read other portions of Scripture that remind us that, friends, hear this, that in the call to be people of faith, I don't think at the same time God calls us to be doormats of faith. What I mean is I read this call to be peacemakers, and I also hear that passage in Romans where Jesus says this. He says, as far as you are able, live in peace with one another. As much as it's up to you, in other words. If you're able to do so, if people will cooperate with you, cooperate with them. But I think in some ways Paul is saying, friends, some relationships are lost causes. We're called to love everybody, yes. But that doesn't mean we're miracle workers as well. As far as you're able, as much as it depends upon you, live in peace with those around you and love them. And in the call to meekness, the call to humility, I don't think that's a call from our Lord to let the world just run all over you. And to give and to give and give and see no return. Here's what I mean. There's a beautiful passage in James 4. Maybe you've heard it before. Where James, the brother of Jesus, says this. He says, humble yourself. Humble yourself, and what will God do? Humble yourself before the Lord, and He will lift you up. See what that says to me. If we try to live meek and humble with our brother and all they're doing is beating us down and there's no return and lifting up for us as well, then God's not in that. For the call of faith, friends, I believe now as much as ever that the call to faith of surrender, of humility, of peacemaking, the call to live as Jesus Christ blesses those around us as Tetet lived out of himself. But guess what? It should also bless us as beautiful children of God. If we're giving and giving to the relationships around us, and we're receiving no fruits from that as well, then that's not a holy relationship. The holiness is that we, yes, give. We surrender. We're meek. We're merciful. But the good news of the gospel is that relationship and that giving also nurtures and nourishes our existence as the giver as well. You see, this passage, the inner portions of the scripture are calls for us of how to live in relations with each other. But if you'll notice, the first two and the last two Beatitudes, the blessings, are more about existences that are placed upon us. Things that we face. The first one says, blessed are the pure in spirit. Poor in spirit, not pure. Poor in spirit. It's not a call to be poor in spirit. It says, blessed are you if you are poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. It's not a call to mourn. It's not a call to discipleship. But it's an affirmation from God that you will be comforted. And then the last two, verse 9 and 10. Or excuse me, 10 and 11. Blessed are those who are persecuted. It's not an appeal for us to seek persecution, but it's an encouragement when we are. And then finally, blessed are those when people insult you and lie about you, in other words, who say false things about you. These are words of encouragement. Let me explain it this way. This week I was down in Tupelo one day and I stopped by McDonald's for a cup of coffee. Went inside and there was a beautiful young little girl that walked by the display case for the Happy Meals. Are you familiar with those level of advertisement, the Happy Meals? If you've ever had young children, you're certainly familiar, your grandchildren. She walked by the Happy Meal case and her mom and she were holding hands and she pulled her hand away from mom and this is what she said. She looked at the case and those eyes got big. And here, forgive my poor language in English, she said, I want one of them, and one of them. She wanted one of just about every one of them. And they went and they placed their order. And after she had said, I want one of them, and one of them, mom said, well, it doesn't work like that, honey. You just have to take whatever they give you. She was preparing her for disappointment, I guess. They got their Happy Meal. They sat down and started enjoying their lunch. And I walked by them as I was leaving. And I looked and I said to mom, I said, well, did she get what she wanted? And mom said, why, no. She said, they always give me the purse, the little girl did. She already had the purse. She wanted one of them other things she didn't have. She wanted something new. She didn't want what they gave her. Boy, I'm like that little girl at times. The mom gave words of wisdom, didn't she? And I guess words of life. We don't get to choose. They give us what they want to give us at times. Don't we know that at certain points in our life, in our journey? There are things the world just gives us. And we, like the little girl, we don't always like what the world gives us. We want one of them other things. We want some relief. We want to see the joy of the faith. We don't want to have to face these scriptures where Jesus encourages us when the world gives us what we don't. We mourn. The world gives us at times insults and false accusations and persecution. The world we live in, like the child at McDonald's, sometimes gives us what we don't want. And into that world, friends, I'm grateful, comes the Savior Jesus Christ, who gives us comfort when the world gives us brokenness, who gives us restoration when the world tears us apart, who gives us words of affirmation when the world falsely accuses, insults, and persecutes. That's the promise of our Lord and our Savior, the God of life. You see, these beatitudes, these blessings, listen to the word that Jesus says in every one of them. In each 9 occasions of this passage, He begins by saying this word, blessed. Blessed are you. Now, so many of these relate to a blessing to come in the heavenly realm, and hallelujah, all the pain and injury and brokenness that we know in this world will eventually be conquered, even if not until that heavenly realm. That's our faith. That's our hope. That's our sure and certain promise as people of Jesus Christ. But friends, it's not just about a heavenly promise. Jesus begins each of those Beatitudes with this word, blessed. Not blessings to come, but blessed even now are you, as people of faith. The blessing is for now. Maybe you're saying, oh, Jody, come on, you're reading into it. Life's hard. It's tough. I'm not seeing a lot of blessing. And I may give you that pass if it wasn't for this other portion of the scripture that says this. It clarifies it more in my mind and in my heart. Verse 12. Rejoice and be glad. See, He's talking about our current existence. He's not saying you're going to rejoice and be glad only in heaven. He says the promise and reward is in heaven, but right now, here today, the call to faith is to do what? To rejoice and be glad no matter what this broken and evil world gives you. For today. You know, I remember pastoring and giving pastoral care to one of my parishioners once, a lady who had an estranged relationship with her daughter, and she said that her daughter was coming to visit and they were going to work in some way for reconciliation to repair. And the mother, as she poured her heart out to me, she said, you know, she's here now, and I can't even enjoy our visit because I'm worried about when she's going to leave. Now, friends, if that's the way we approach faith in life, we're not giving God much to work with, are we? If we approach every relationship in our existence with that type of defeated mentality where we refuse to be joyful, that's what this mother was doing. She refused to receive the joy and enjoyment that she had right before because she was worried about what was to come. Maybe we all do that time. Have we all felt at some point where we, like this woman, just aren't happy at times unless we're miserable? It's hard for God to do much for us when we approach life like that. Just not happy unless we're miserable. What I'm saying is I think we've got to take some ownership. The promise is from our heavenly Maker who says that you are blessed as my children. That joy is yours even now, no matter what the world gives you. But we as His people have to take some responsibility and at least turn our eyes to Him and put our trust in Him, the Maker and Giver of our joy, or we'll never be anything but miserable. It's kind of like a visit I had recently with a couple that are friends of mine. And their heart was breaking and they were concerned about their son and needs in his life and decisions he had to make, as we all do for children or parents or loved ones. And toward the end of their conversation, they said, "You know, Jody, when it started changing for me again, I was reminded that I simply had to give him back to God. I'd been trying to do so much to make his life better, to fix his problem, to give him the right words, to do the right things, to make life better for him. I was trying to do it all, and I finally remembered that he's not mine and that I cannot do what only our holy God can do." He was calling me and reminding me as a pastor and as a father and as just a simple person of faith, the truth and the promise for my joy, for me to receive the blessings that are already here, are to give it back to God and trust Him to do with my life what I can't, for my family, for my marriage, for my church, to be in me light, love, and hope in the midst of darkness, brokenness, and death. Friends, let's go forth as people of joy, blessed by the Lord of life.